This is the English translation of Pastor Grace Jiang's message, How to Know the Will of God, number 6. In the beginning of the message, Sister Rosa shared her testimony. In the past week, the company has been preparing for the ISO 9000 inspection, which is a big deal for the company. Because of this additional workload, most coworkers are in a bad mood and became very impatient. Sister Rosa, although she also felt very tired and exhausted, she is determined to have God's peace and joy demonstrated through her. One day when she got off from work, she was completely exhausted. When she went back home, she waited upon the Lord. While she was waiting, she was prompted by the Holy Spirit to sing a hymn. She initially hesitated, but eventually obeyed. As she sang, she suddenly cried very bitterly, and she felt the comforting from the Holy Spirit. She later on realized that it was because her spiritual life is not that mature yet, so she actually could not handle that much pressure and stress from work. However, God really honored her determination to obey God's will and maintain her peace and joy. Because of that, God chose to comfort her while she was waiting upon the Lord. She really appreciated that she now grew in her determination to follow God's will in everything. Also, eventually, the company passed the ISO 9000 inspection smoothly. Okay, so let's first read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So here it says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This basically means if someone doesn't understand the will of God, then their life would be regarded as foolish in God's eyes. God's will is not just about the laws. It's far deeper than that. His will actually includes his comprehensive and marvelous plans designed to sanctify us and bring us glory. And because of that reason, in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5, it says, He predestined us for adoption to himself as son through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So here you can see God's will is always filled with love. All his will is predestined for us to be adopted as sons. And in verse 9 to 12, it says, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having seen predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. So from these we can see, as we are talking about how to know the will of God, we first must desire God's will and know that all his will is predestined for us in love in order to let us obtain all his glory and be transformed into his image. And this is also why we need to know his will in our everyday life. However, we have to remember his overarching will on us is for us to obtain his glory and sanctify us. He indeed has so many marvelous plans in our lives. However, if we don't know the will of God, then we often find ourselves stumbling around, thinking everything just happened by chance. Many things that we thought as just coincidence or mere bad luck might actually be orchestrated within God's will. So we really need to know his will so that we don't feel like we are wandering in the wilderness for the entire life. So let's also read Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So recall near the end of chapter 11, Paul says, Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him glory forever. Amen. So as Paul talked about God's eternal plan, that we were all sinners, but God arranged a complete salvation plan for us to save us from our sin, transgression, and rebellion. His plan on us is so wonderful that so that we can abide in his Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, we can no longer live under the law of sin and death. We can abide in Christ, allowing his gracious will be fulfilled on us and enabling us to attain sonship. So eventually, Paul concluded it by saying, Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom. Who has known the mind of the Lord? His gracious will towards we sinners are so good and deep. Who has been his counselor? And that is why Paul appealed to us that by the mercies of God to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Then he said, do not conform to this world so that we can comprehend how good, acceptable, and perfect is well. Here, Paul talked about not to conform to this world. It's basically talking about a worldly mindset. Even if you are a Christian, if you carry a worldly mindset, you still cannot understand God's will. For example, most people's thoughts revolve around their children, and everything is for the well-being of their children. If you also have the same mindset, you won't be able to know the will of God. We need to consult Bible to learn what is the will of God and lead our children according to His will. Only until then will we be able to know what that His will is, good, acceptable, and perfect. So that's why all the prerequisites of how to know the will of God are all about having the correct mindset. If you don't have a godly mindset, simply trying to imitate the process of seeking God's will only lead to confusions. At times, it seems like you understand His will, but then it changes again. It is all because we still carry a worldly mindset. God's will is about the heavenly realm, so unless you only desire is to receive your portion in the heavenly realm and are willing to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, you won't be able to understand. We need to have an unwavering yearning for the heavenly things, making the heavenly things the foremost desire in our heart, and we are so eager to be changed and have a heavenly mindset and affection. Only when our mindset is continually transformed will we be able to understand His will. Otherwise, I can never understand why God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. So remember last time we talked about how following the inner prompting of the Holy Spirit. Why would anyone misinterpret those prompting? It is because their mindset are still very worldly, and they still long for worldly desires. Eventually, that became a foothold for the enemy because your mindset and desires align with Satan very well, so you easily fall into their trap. Also, your fleshly desire can speak to you. We shared a testimony of a sister last time. She said that if the inner prompting demands a struggle from her flesh, then it must be from God. Through her willingness to consistently obey to those promptings, she started to transform. Her once rebellious, stubborn nature became softened. However, if the inner prompting made her flesh feel very comfortable, then she would take a step back and discern it more carefully. This is an honest attitude towards God. Let's see another example. Today, before our gathering, I actually had a very bad stomach ache. When we were praying for the gathering, the stomach ache was so bad that I cannot even straighten my back. I have to walk very slowly to the restroom, and when we were worshiping a couple minutes ago, I also cannot stand up or sing loudly. However, when we sing the line, "The joy of the Lord is my strength," then I realized, yes, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I want to accept this strength. So I just stand up, and then I feel that I should start dancing. It seems impossible because my stomach is still aching, but I'm determined to obey God's will. The joy of the Lord is my strength, so I have to accept this strength and accept this joy. So I started to dance very gently, then gradually my stomach ache subsided. Dear families, if you want to know the will of God, you have to first learn to diligently obey the will of God that is clearly written in the Bible, especially when you are feeling unwell. God's will is truly wonderful, and the best timing to experience that is at those challenging times. If we choose to obey His will, we can embrace His gracious will towards us that can sanctify us and bring us to glory. Back in 1986, Minister Pro Young asked Minister Gerda Bakker to call me. At that time, Minister Pro Young cannot really speak well already, so she asked me if I can go to San Francisco to help with some ministry work. At that time, a couple had started some pioneering work in San Francisco, but things haven't been going smoothly. Minister Pro Young sought God's will, and she thought of me, so she asked me about it, because the sister in San Francisco recently just had a baby, so she wanted me to help them for 6 months. After hearing all these, I replied that I will get back to you after praying for a week. However, as I hang up the phone, I immediately remember that the wife literally just had a baby. If I go, I will likely be working with her husband most of the time, and this is not easy for a single sister like me because I don't know what his wife would thinking of me. And this is also my first time in the US, my first time abroad, and I will be staying for 6 months working with others' husband. It was really challenging. Therefore, I pray to the Lord, "Lord, unless you made it clear that it's you who is sending me, or I will not go." The next morning, when I wait upon the Lord, I remember a verse from Acts chapter 22, verse 21. "Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles." It happened that my Bible study plan that day was Acts 22. So when I read this verse, it jumped right at me saying, "Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles." So I felt the joy within. So if I make decisions based on my natural inclination, I really did not want to leave Hsinchu. Our church at Hsinchu is so awesome. Why would I want to go to the US and working with other's husband for 6 months? Also, it's a pioneering work, so there are only a few coworkers. We also literally just built our church in Hsinchu, so I have donated all my money. Now I'm joining them in the US, so basically it's me, the couple, and their kids. We four people all have to live by faith. There are really many challenging aspects, especially the working with others husband part. However, when the Lord spoke to me through that verse, I have joy within me again, and I became very willing to go. So I prayed again, saying, Lord, can you give me another confirmation that someone around me will mention San Francisco or California to me? And it happened that on that exact same day, I received a letter from a brother who is now studying in North California. He was visiting his uncle in San Francisco, and in his letter, he said the sky in San Francisco is so blue and so beautiful. Then I asked the Lord again, Lord, would you mind just give me yet another confirmation that someone else will mention San Francisco or California again? Then it happens, I was just sitting on my desk, and then when I opened the drawer, I suddenly noticed a postcard from Golden Gate Bridge. The postcard was from a sister who was studying in New York, but she sent me a postcard from San Francisco, saying that the fruit in San Francisco is so sweet and delicious. So after all these, now I really know that it's God's will for me to go. However, I still need to apply for a visa. It's very hard for a single sister to get approved for a visa, and several of my family members in the US already. My sister is in New York, and both my parents have green cards. When I was waiting for the visa interview, the guy in front of me was trying to get a student visa, but he has been rejected once already, and this was his second time. So I asked the Lord, Dear Lord Jesus, if this is really your will, please let me get a visa on the first try. When it is my turn, the officer asked me a bunch of questions, and I answered truthfully. Surprisingly, even though he looked very reluctant and did not really trust me, he still approved my visa. He was so suspicious that he kept telling me that I have to return to Taiwan. God indeed worked in a miraculous way, and the guy in front of me still did not get his visa even on his second try. Now I have all the documentation, but as the time to leave approaches, I started to feel anxious again when I think about staying abroad alone and working with others' husband for 6 months. So I started to pray again, Lord, if this is your will, you have to promise me that you will come with me. Usually, I don't listen to audio when I was on a bus, but it happened that day I have a portable player with me. When I just pressed play, I heard Minister Pro Young's voice saying that my presence will go with you. That is the very first sentence that she said when I pressed play. So now I am very clear that it is God's will, so I went abroad. When I reached the U.S. Customs for entry and visa verification, I prayed, Lord, you asked Minister Pro Young to have me come help for 6 months. If the officer only approved me for 1 month, then that means it's not your will. So you have to let the officer approve me for 6 months. So when I was waiting in line, I asked the Lord which line I should go. And it turned out indeed the officer approved me for 6 months. As I followed God's will to come to the U.S., after 3 months, the tumor in my body completely disappeared. That tumor has been in my body for about a year, but it completely disappeared. It was really challenging for me to come to the U.S. with my illness because I don't have an insurance, but I am determined to follow and obey God's will. Yet, after I came to the U.S. out of obedience, I received such a great grace. God healed my tumor completely just after my first gathering in San Jose. It just disappeared. So to know God's will, first we need to pay attention to the inner prompting, and the second way is through the confirmation from God's words. Usually those Bible verses are not the ones that you deliberately found, but instead, usually it is the verse that jumped out and speak to you. It's a rhema, a word that empowers you after it's spoken. Some people, when seeking guidance in relationship, work, or moving, they already have a strong preference, and then they try to find the verses in that direction. But later on, when they hear some negative news, they started to look for verses in the opposite direction. These are all self-deception. God's will is not wishy-washy. If it is really His will, you will first feel the inner prompting from the Holy Spirit. Next, you will have the Word of God. And thirdly, you will have the confirmation from the circumstances. Note that the circumstantial confirmation is that whatever the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray, it will always be fulfilled. If you ask for three confirmations and the first two are fulfilled but the third one is not, then that means it's not the will of God. We ourselves need to have an honest heart before God. We cannot ask for confirmation with a strong preference in mind. And then if the first two gets fulfilled but the third one did not, then you will claim that it's the 2-to-1, so it settles the case. Then you are just deceiving yourself. In the future, you won't be able to stand firm. When I was still in Hsinchu, we pastors live on the 9th floor and the church is on the 10th floor. One day, the landlord told us that they are selling the place for 2.5 million New Taiwan dollar, and they asked if we are interested. However, the Lord did not ask us to buy the place, so we have to move. We asked God if we should move to a different place or shall we just move to the first floor, and the Lord told us to move to the first floor, so we obey. The condition of the first floor is actually not that good. It was pretty small and not very well lit, and we are basically using the corridor, but because it's God's will, so we accept it. After about a year, one day the landlord told us that they actually owned from 8th to 10th floor, and they told us that the previous buyer had left because of his gambling debt, so they asked us if we will be interested to buy all three floors with just 2 million Taiwan dollar. I thought that was a good idea because the place was quite spacious, and 2 million New Taiwan dollar is actually pretty cheap for such a large space. So I told the landlord that I can pass on the information to our church members to see who would be interested. Because I thought that if God wants us to move out from the place, why would God ask us to purchase it back again? But just when I was thinking about that, I suddenly remember a verse from Philemon, verse 15. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. So this verse is actually talking about a person, but it just came to my brain. I know that it was not something that I had thought of on my own because I would not have considered using this verse for the housing situation. So does the Lord ask us to buy it? At that time, we had a church building committee already because we thought that it's not a good idea to keep moving here and there if we are very clear that we will stay in Hsinchu. My brother donated 100,000 New Taiwan dollar, which he originally planned to use that money for his own house as the first installment for the church building fund. So after the conversation with our previous landlord, I shared the news with the building committee. At that time, there are two options. One is from the previous landlord. The other option is a piece of land. So we started to ask God together, Lord, do you want us to buy the land or buy the 8th to 10th floor? As we are praying, Holy Spirit spoke the threshing floor of Ornan to me. Then I realized that, yeah, the threshing floor of Ornan is the building place of the temple. So I asked God, is the threshing floor of Ornan a low place or a high place? If it is a low place, then that means we shall buy the land. If it's a high place, then that means we should buy the higher floors. So you might think that a threshing floor must be a low place. However, in the Bible, it says the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite, is on Mount Moriah. So that means it's on a high place. So I asked God for a clearer guidance. So after that day, God started to speak to me according to my Bible reading schedule. The next day, it says they built the altar on its foundation. So that means we have to go back to the same place, the same foundation. The next day, it says go up to the hills and bring wood and build a house. So again, it is about going to the high place. So we all seek God's will together for a week, and then we had a committee meeting. One of the coworkers said that when he was waiting upon the Lord, God told him loft within a loft. So indeed, the 8th to 10th floor are a loft within a loft because the building is just 7th floor, but it has an 8th to 10th floor only on its corner. So we decided to buy the place after all these confirmations. However, when we told the landlord that we want to buy the place, we found that there is a seal behind the door. And then we realized that the house was actually up for auction because the previous buyer owed a huge amount of debt, so the house was being auctioned off. So we had another committee meeting, and the chairman immediately expressed concerns, saying that it's very risky to buy an auction house because there might be creditors coming and asking for money. But I insisted, how can we do that? God has given us words. We cannot just back off because it seems risky. If that is the case, why spending all these efforts seeking God's will? If God has given us words and confirmation, we have to buy it. The Lord has spoken. We just cannot disregard His will simply because of some challenges arise. We have to stay committed. Oh, that's also why many people cannot understand God's will. If a couple seek the Lord and know that their relationship is God's will, but as they start dating, they found that their personality is so different. So they start to think that maybe it's not God's will. If that's the case, why bother seeking God's will in the first place? Oftentimes, God pairs two very different persons together so that they can be molded to God's image. Same thing applies to your job choice. If you have a difficult boss, then you feel that maybe it's not God's will. But actually, it is God's will so that you can learn humility and obedience. If we seek God's will, we have to do it with an honest heart so we can honestly obey and follow through His will. So we eventually still bought the house. We went to the auction and then we got the bid. Even though there were some undisclosed information from the landlord, God took full responsibility for us. So we moved in. Once we moved in, everything was all good. No one ever come asking for money, and everyone who came was so amazed that we can buy such a nice place with such a low price. On the day when we dedicated the church, God's presence was so glorious. He often testified Himself through His presence, and His presence confirmed that it was God's will. So dear families, when we are seeking God's will for a relationship, marriage, or career, if you really seek His will with an honest heart, even though there might be some difficulties, we should seek His grace, saying that, God, I choose to obey Your will, so I will endure to the end. When you are determined to follow His will, then you can feel God's presence supporting you. God's presence will gird your waist. However, some people will start to waver. In James chapter 1, verse 7 to 8, it says, "For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Those people often base their understanding of God's will on changing circumstances, rather than truly seeking to renew their hearts to discern what is good, acceptable, and perfect in God's will. I know a sister, when she just started dating, she was so clear that it was God's will. So even though she had many problems with her in-laws after they got married, and also she realized how different it was regarding their background and communication styles, despite all the pain and fight, and they both are thinking about divorce, but because she clearly knew that it was God's will, so she was determined to hang in there. She acknowledged that, "I would not divorce because I know that it's God's will, and God says that He has joined together. Let not man separate. So I don't have the right to separate this marriage." So she was determined to obey God's will. Eventually, God made them love each other so deeply, and it's no longer the love out of our natural inclination, but instead it became a heavenly love, a profound love from the Spirit. So from this, it really illustrates why it's so crucial to understand God's will. Even though God allows us to date whoever we like, move wherever we want, change our job whenever we want, but we shall have a heart honoring God, knowing that God has a wonderful plan for my life. So I want to honor that plan and seek Your will. If you are determined to follow Him and obey His will honestly, then you will be continually transformed into His holiness and His glory. So ultimately, it's about our priority. Do you take God's will or your fleshly comfort as your priority? What can last for eternity? Sometimes enduring a bit of suffering on earth can result in gaining an eternal crown, which I believe is truly worthwhile. Sometimes I think about missionaries in China. They suffer and eventually martyred for the Lord, and their days on earth are short, filled with hardship, persecution, and suffering. However, they can quickly be with the Lord, and that is wonderful. Their eternal reward is truly great. They will be with the Lord forever. What a joy! In the Bible, it says, "Whoever does the will of God abides forever." So it really depends on whether you are willing to follow God's will, and that is what gives life meaning and leads to eternal life. Back in 1986, when I first came to the U.S., I remember that I was visiting a brother. Even though the church announced that I would be sent to San Francisco for 6 months, still three persons gave me a visiting list in San Jose. At that time, I had no idea where San Jose is, so I asked a couple at our church. They told me a lot of stuff about San Jose, but I did not remember them anymore. However, I remember when I left their place, I felt the Holy Spirit saying, "Whatever I did in Hsinchu, I would do the same in San Jose." Then I just came. After I came to the U.S., I went visit those families. Some of them accepted Jesus right away. So we thought we should follow up on them, and we decided to start a home fellowship. It turned out my tumor completely disappeared right after our first home fellowship. So we continued the home fellowship group since March 7, 1987, and we did it every other week. God began leading people one by one to join us, and it indeed felt like an extension of our work in Hsinchu. When I was in Hsinchu, I was leading students from Tsinghua and Jiao Tong University. Here, actually, many people are also alumni from Tsinghua and Jiao Tong University. Back in Hsinchu, most of them were single as they were just students. Here, many are married with kids. Previously, most of them only had undergraduate degree. Here, most of them are master's or PhD. So indeed, it feels like an extension from Hsinchu. Usually, I don't keep thinking about that word because I just came to help in San Francisco. But because of the demographic of the people who came, and God also started to bring one after another, also people who study STEM has a very sincere and straightforward heart that again reminded me of our congregation in Hsinchu. So again, I remember God's words, what I have done in Hsinchu, I will also do it again in San Jose. When June came, I was going back to Taiwan after helping out for 6 months. Even though many brothers and sisters here in San Jose and San Francisco really hoped that I could stay, but God did not ask me to stay at that time. God only told me what I have done in Hsinchu, I will do it again in San Jose. But that does not mean God will do that through me. So I went back to Hsinchu. After I went back from time to time, I would get a phone call from San Jose, hoping that I could come to help again. But I just kept saying no, because I didn't want to leave Hsinchu. I always felt that when I first came to Hsinchu at age 26, it was as if I had married to Hsinchu, and I want to stay in Hsinchu for my entire life. I never thought that I would come to US, and I never want to come to US either. But then I started to receive more and more letters from our brothers and sisters. Some of our graduates from Hsinchu went to New York or other places for further education, and they all went to San Jose after they graduated. So I started to ask God, what are you planning to do, Lord? Afterwards, I also went to San Jose to lead a conference. Even though many people hope that I can build a church in San Jose, but I always thought that it was impossible. How is that even possible for a single lady like me to come to the US and build a church? I have not been learning English for a while, and the laws in the US was so strict. It was so easy for me to just stay in Taiwan, and everything worked out so perfectly for me already. So I never wanted to come. But until 1991, when I was leading a conference in East Coast, I received a phone call asking me to come lead a conference for them in 1992 for a year. This forced me to seriously face this issue. I asked God, if you want me to build a church here, then I cannot go and help them for a year. Because if I help them for a year and later on I build my own church, if the congregation from that church came attend my church, then that would be extremely awkward. So Lord, I need to know if you are asking me to come to San Jose. If you want me to come to San Jose, then I cannot agree to help them. But if you are not asking me to come to San Jose, then I can go help them for a year and build up more saints there, allowing more longing souls to have place to pursue God in San Jose. Because I am so eager to fulfill God's prophecy that what I have done in Hsinchu, I will do it again in San Jose. I really hope that there can be a place in San Jose where the hungry ones can fully receive God's presence. So I started to ask the Lord, but actually I have no idea how can Bible answer my question to let me know whether I should go help others or try to build my own church. But it turned out after my prayer, I read the Bible according to my Bible reading schedule. It was 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15 to 16. We do not boast beyond limits in the labor of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. So these words were so clear to me that I do not boast beyond limits in the labor of others. Even though in the beginning I have came and helped out others in San Jose, but now I have to do it outside of their boundaries, not within the work already done in another's area of influence. So it was very clear to me, I know that God wants me to come. But then I thought, Lord, that means I need to leave Hsinchu. It's a bit hard for me, as I have served here for 11 years. How can I just leave like that? Do I really need to leave Hsinchu? Then the next day, I went to a sister's place. I went for a meal with them and had some fellowship time. After the meal, we started to pray, and God's presence was so strong. So we started to wait upon the Lord. As we draw near to Him, the sister started to kneel down and came in front of me, quoting Psalm 45, verse 10 to 11. Hear, O daughter, and consider, and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty. She actually gave me three prophetic words, and this is one of them. And this sentence came, I know that God was speaking to me, and he wanted me to forget my people and my father's house. Previously, I had left my father's house and moved from Taipei to Hsinchu, so I really love the brothers and sisters in Hsinchu. But now God told me to forget my people, so I know that God wanted me to leave Hsinchu. Later on, God told me that he wanted to do something in Los Angeles. After seeking God's will, I know that I had to first start it from Los Angeles. But since I went to Los Angeles in 1992, I completely forgot about San Jose because the pioneering work was really busy and everything was so challenging. I really need to see God's heart for every single thing. So whenever I receive a phone call from San Jose asking me to come, I always told them that I cannot just go because I was starting a church in Los Angeles. Also, I had this inclination to just stay in one place. Wherever I go, I like it to become my little nest, hoping to settle forever and never have to move again. But God's work is so marvelous and complete. So fast forward to 1995, as I just went back from Taiwan, I received several phone calls from San Jose asking me to see God's will if I should come build a church in San Jose. Those brothers and sisters really pressed me to seek God's will, as they would call me day by day, one after another. So I had to ask God, Lord, do you want me to go to San Jose? So God started to speak to me again, and he asked me to follow his schedule and timeline. I replied to the Lord, but this seems not to be a good timing, as their church just had a division. After that time, the pastor brought part of the congregation away, so I would not feel uncomfortable going because they now don't have a pastor. But at that same time, as they just had a division, if I go, it might seem like I was taking advantage of their split. So I asked God, do you really want me to go now? Then God told me, there are many of my people in that city. Just preach and don't be afraid. That was the prompting from the Holy Spirit, asking me not to be afraid of the potential gossiping. Next, I further seek confirmation with the Lord. Then, what about Los Angeles? We need someone to continue this church. And it turned out, 1 or 2 days later, I received a phone call from Pastor Ching. He came to Sacramento to visit his father, and then he wanted to come visit me at Los Angeles. So as he came, he told me that God very clearly called him to come serve in the U.S., and he wanted to come with me for the first year. So I told him the situation about San Jose, and I asked if he can come lead the church in Los Angeles. He immediately agreed, almost like a paratrooper dropping in. After that, I kept asking God for confirmation, and God fulfilled every single confirmation and also gave me fresh word. But each time when the brothers and sisters in San Jose called me, asking if I received anything from the Lord, I always replied that it was not clear yet, because I was trying to delay as much as possible, as I could not let go of the church in Los Angeles before the next pastor come. So I delayed the process for like a month, from the end of February to the end of March. Actually, it was quite clear to me inside, but I still told the Lord, unless you made it 100% clear, otherwise I would not go to San Jose. Because I always felt that after so much struggle, now we finally build up the congregation in Los Angeles, and now we also have our own church, that we don't need to keep moving anymore. Also, we just paid everything, and the coworkers just became mature. I thought that finally I can now relax a bit, hoping to have a 3-month vacation. At that moment, I had served the Lord for 15 years straight, with no sabbatical year in between. After 3 years of pioneering work in Los Angeles, I was really tired, so I really hope that I can go rest for 3 months. How can I just go straight to San Jose and starting from zero again? When I told Yaguo that I really wanted to get some rest, he told me that, don't worry about it, you can come, pioneer and rest at the same time. But I know that is a total nonsense. How can I have no time to rest when I am pioneering? I know that I have to start from ground zero, and that was really exhausting for me. When I was in Hsinchu, even after serving for 12 years, I never felt that I need a sabbatical year or need any vacation, because we had three ministers, and also our brothers and sisters were built out at a young age, so they were all pretty good at preaching. So basically, I only need to preach once a month. Also, all our brothers and sisters are ready to serve, so my life was really easy. But after coming to Los Angeles, I had to do everything by myself. After 3 years, we also built our own church. I was really exhausted, desperate for some rest. But God's word just come, so I tried to delay as much as possible. Until the end of March, Martina called me asking, "Sister Jiang, what do you receive?" I still replied that it was not clear yet. Then she told me, "We are all waiting for you. Now we are wandering around several churches. When I asked the Lord, God wanted me to go to Zion Church of Praise. If you don't come to San Jose, I will go to Los Angeles. If I go to Los Angeles, I will need to find a job there. So I need to know if you are coming or not." Her words made me feel embarrassed, so I promised her that I would give her an answer after 2 weeks. As I just hung my phone, I started to read an article. That was my habit that time, and there rarely has any scripture at all in that book. But on that day, in the very beginning of the article was a scripture in large font, reading Psalm 69 verse 6. "Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me." Because Martina just told me that everyone was waiting for me, and they were wandering around several churches. Many churches wanted them to stay and be their coworker, but they don't dare to stay because of me. So when I read that word from the article, I was truly startled. The next day, I received the same scripture again, "Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me." And then I received the same word yet again the next day, so I cannot deny that anymore. Afterward, I went to a pastor's wife's place. Every week, I went to her place to have English Bible study and learn some English. That day, she was busy in the kitchen, and I suddenly wanted to play piano and worship God. So I asked her for permission to play a piano, and as I was playing, she came and asked me if I can play a song for her. On the music stand, there were a few music sheets already, which were all about drawing near to God. But she did not want me to play those songs. She took out a sheet from her massive collection and she started to play, asking me if I know this song. That hymn was in English and the lyrics mentioned, "The Lord says, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? I said, here I am, Lord, send me." That was how that song went, and she invited me to sing along. So I clearly understood God's will at that point. Next, I asked God for my final confirmation, saying that, "Lord, if it's from you, when I call Minister Gerda Bocker, she has to agree promptly." So indeed, when I called her, she did not ask me anything about Los Angeles and just promptly said yes. So after I was clear about everything, I still did not make the phone call because I told her that I would reply after 2 weeks. All the above things only happened within a few days, so I think I can wait for 2 weeks until she called me. Yet it turned out she called me the next day again, asking me the same question. This time I told her that it's clear now and asked her to find a place because I remember God's word saying, "Without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence." So after God gave me all these words, I came to San Jose to lead a conference. And then there was a couple invited me to have a meal in their place. When the sister came and picked me up, we passed by a place. Suddenly, I felt this prompting from the Holy Spirit. I knew that we would have our gathering here in the future. So I asked her where we are. She told me that we are at Milpitas. So I memorized the name. Actually, it was very hard for me to memorize any location in English, but I paid extra attention to memorize the word Milpitas. So when I asked them to find a place, I asked them to go find a church in Milpitas. However, they later told me that all churches in Milpitas are fully occupied and there was no place to rent. So I asked them to find an elementary school, but they asked me if we can find somewhere else. But I insisted to have them to find a place in Milpitas. So as you all try to find a place, I would pray for you all. Then, as I was praying for the location of the gathering, I read Luke chapter 22, verse 12 that day, "And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." Then I remember that it was the same scripture God gave me when we moved from a military village into an apartment complex in Hsinchu. So just as I was meditating about that, I got a call from Ya Guo saying that, "Sister Jiang, Dennis found a hotel." But I said, "A hotel? No. How can we gather in a hotel? Try find somewhere else, like a school." But just as I hang up the phone when I was preparing my lunch, the Holy Spirit spoke to me saying, "A large upper room furnished." So I immediately knelt down saying, "Lord, could this hotel be the large upper room furnished as you mentioned? It's the upper room you are saying, then it has to be 7 floors or more." Because back in Hsinchu, the apartment complex we were in had 7 floors, and there was additional loft on the 8th to 10th floor. So I say that it needs to have at least 7 floors. It feels like I am giving God a challenge because I have never seen any large building in the past many times when I visited San Jose. I remember even when we passed by Hilton Hotel, it was only 2 floors, so I thought that there was no large building in San Jose. But after I prayed, I received a phone call from Martina. She also told me that Dennis found a hotel, but I asked her if she knows how many floors are there. She said that she could not recall, maybe like 6 floors or something. So I asked her to pay attention to how many floors are there tomorrow. She was baffled about why I care so much about how many floors are there. But afterwards, I knelt down before God, saying that, Lord, if they are only 6 floors, then that would not count. They must have more than 7 floors to be called as an upper room. And it turned out the next day, Martina told me that the hotel has 9 floors. So I gave them green light to rent. After the phone call, the Holy Spirit again remembered me the same work. What I did in Hsinchu, I will also do it in San Jose. Then I felt a deep sense of awe. That was the word God gave me back in 1986, and it was fulfilled by Him in 1995, after 9 years. Actually, since I went back to Taiwan in 1987, I mentioned several times to my coworker, saying that the Lord told me what He did in Hsinchu, He would also do it in San Jose. But for several times, my coworker asked me not to bring that up again. But I still kept feeling that San Jose is very special. As God says so, I knew that He has a plan to be fulfilled there. But I did not necessarily think that it had to be done through me, because I did not want to go there at all. Back in 1989, when we started Samuel School in Taiwan to equip people who want to serve the Lord full-time, at that time, whenever someone from San Jose invited me to lead a conference, I always thought that, Lord, maybe You wanted me to start something in San Jose. Maybe I can do some pioneering work, and then we would have our students from Samuel School to continue. I feel that since they want to serve the Lord full-time, we need to prepare the way for them so that they will have a field to serve for our next generation. And that's why I shared with my coworkers about God's words, but someone later asked me not to mention it again. However, that day when I hang up the phone with Martina, I was so in awe and touched by what God just did. He first released His word in 1986, even though there was many frustration and hindrance in those 9 years, but God eventually fulfilled His promises. Even for our gathering places, God gave us the same scripture for both Hsinchu and San Jose. Back in 1980, it was in the apartment complex, and now in 1995, it's in Sheraton Hotel. Even though I was very against about gathering in a hotel, because I always thought that it must be very noisy with people coming and going. Yet it turned out God had prepared such an awesome place for us. After we started our gathering in Sheraton Hotel for a while, our brother told me that Sister Jiang, it was truly amazing. This hotel is very close to Highway 80, close to the exit in Montague. Traveling either northbound or southbound, there was only traffic after exit in Montague. So it's perfect to leave the highway in that exit. Also, this place is indeed well furnished. All the chairs and water dispensers are ready, and there are many tissue papers in the restroom. Indeed, we have everything we need. Also, the soundproof system is awesome. Not only was it not noisy, we can also praise out loud without disturbing anyone. So I'm truly amazed at what God has done. So I share this testimony to inspire everyone to be in awe of God. When all these things fulfill, I was in a deep awe of Him. Indeed, God has planned everything. His words can be fulfilled completely after 9 years. He even gave us the same scripture after 15 years. Indeed, what He has done in Hsinchu, He will do it in San Jose. I was in such a deep awe of God. Sometimes we don't appreciate how meticulous God's plans are for us. It is indeed very detailed, meticulous, and wonderful. He arranged everything. So dear families, we really need to seek God's will and acknowledge Him in all things. Don't rely on our own wisdom. Be willing to let go our own opinions. If I insist on my own opinion, I would not come to San Jose, not even to the U.S. But whenever I submit to the Lord, especially the time when I came to San Jose from Los Angeles, that time was really hard because I was so exhausted at that time and I really wanted to rest, just thinking about pioneering everything all over again. But when I chose to submit, I found out how much grace and blessings God has prepared for us. So indeed, it was so awesome to obey God. Let's all follow Him step by step, seeking His will step by step, and submit to Him with an honest heart. Amen.